Hi, welcome to Sacred Conversations with Vision Battlesword. This is an audio series created by me and by the Sacred Light spiritual community for our own benefit as well as for anyone else that might be interested to hear it. This represents a new kind of podcast or a new type of audio series that I call a community conversation. So I'll be talking with the Sacred Light spiritual community and we'll explore all types of topics from truth to philosophy, spirituality, consciousness, psychedelics, and many, many more. And the goal of this is just to explore reality, to explore truth, and to see what all of the different pieces and all the different perspectives are of reality that we can put together into an integration of an entirely new philosophy. So I hope you'll join me for this journey, and without further ado, here's our episode. Thanks.
Welcome to Luminary Landing, Tiffany. Welcome back from all of your travels and adventures. It's good to have an opportunity to spend some time with you today.
It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me here with you and for being such a special part of my life. I'm really grateful for this moment.
Aw, that means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling right now?
Well, I'm experiencing painful symptoms in my body, but my heart and my spirit are filled with joy. that's what I would say. Mm. Yeah. How about you?
I feel excited. I feel a weird mixture of really energized and a little tired at the same time. But all in all, my spirits are very high, very hopeful. And I'm excited for this conversation.
That's delightful. Yeah. Good place to be.
Who are you, Tiffany Feedy?
Oh, goodness. So the thing that like stands out that's really strong is I'm a widow. I lost my husband in 2020 and I'm a single mother. And I have been on this awakening, expansive connection, healing journey. And why that's important is because I have been through experiences of heaviness, of trauma, and really been able to navigate through that in a, I think, a powerful way. And my message that I've received is that through living these experiences, like, we're all on the hero's journey, right? And I can see it. You know, when you can see it and you're aware of it, it's like, oh, okay, this is where I'm at right now. Okay. And I really love I'm so fidgety. Tony Vision told me ahead of time, the camera picks up everything. So I'm just doing all the things. Just like, can't stop moving.
Thankfully, we're not on camera. Yeah. We're just on audio.
So I'm a witch. I'm a shamanistic healer, medicine woman. I am a practitioner of touch, of energy. I like to get in and suck people's demons out. And like, I am a shadow walker. Like, let's go. Shine the light. We'll find the light. I got you. You're safe with me. I can be mother. I can be like sensually activating. And, you know, we are all these archetypes. And for me, it's like the divine feminine within me and really embodying these like ancient techniques that have just kind of come online through psychedelics. So, you know, like, the weirder, the more expressive I allow myself to become, the more like remarkable my life has become and miraculous. And while still, you know, navigating the waves that come, but yeah.
Hmm.
That's me.
That's pretty rad. All I got is I'm Vision Battlesword, the founder of Sacred Light, creator of Intentional Autonomous Relating, and the host of Sacred Conversations.
Yeah.
But that feels like enough for right now for me.
Oh, that's what you wanted. My bio. Got it.
No. I wanted exactly what you gave me.
Yeah.
I wanted exactly that. That's perfect. So I feel that it is long overdue that we talk about love. Mm. And that's why I'm so happy that we're having this conversation today, because that's exactly what you came here to talk about. I want to start with, normally I would start with a question, of course, like, what is love? And we will get there. But before we do that, I would like to know, why are you known as the love elixir?
It's so funny. I don't even recall exactly how that came to be. It may have had to do with Sacred Light. I think it came through during one of those. But the essence is, I've had the intention to embody love more deeply. And I have this, it's true for me that God is love and love is God, and that God is everything. And if we look through the lens of our heart at experiences, our life just becomes so much easier. Are we struggling with trust? Well, what would love do? Are we struggling with fear? Well, what would love do? And like, it's not always easy. I have had a couple weeks where I'm just like, keep being in my head because I'm not in my heart. When I'm in my heart, the world unfolds and blossoms in such a great way. And I think through the loss of my husband and through traveling and sitting with the medicine, I just felt such a beautiful wholeness with myself and with like, with connecting to love within me, that it just became clear that that's the message that I wish to carry and help people with, because I think that's really the answer to everything.
What is the message?
The message of awakening your heart to more love and of seeing through the eyes of love. And that takes away resentment, because if that one's, that's not love, God feels good, you know, like it's joyful, it's delightful, it's also all these other things, right? But like really in the essence of it, when we're in relating with someone and all of this, the pattern and expression of that we've lived up until now of, our reactions are based on fear. Our reactions are based on lack of safety. Our reactions are based on my abandonment issues and da 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 da. And so, you know, it's a journey of self-reflection and self-awareness to come to the state of being more open to love and what that means and how to be loving and how to see love in all things.
Is it fair to summarize your message as, what would love do?
You know, I used to have that articulation, what would love do? What would love do? And honestly, no, because one of the things that really stands out to me is when Ram Dass's I Am Loving Awareness. Mm. And so honestly, I asked to see through the eyes of God or see through the eyes of love. And what, how would love, like, how can I express through love? And I sometimes I have to phone a friend. You know, we all do, like, but just like, who can help me see this thing and know this thing through the eyes of love? But how can I embody love more deeply? Mm. How can I be a reflection and radiate love? Mm. And to myself as well, you know, because when we, you know, when we make mistakes and we harbor that guilt toward ourselves, that's, you know, lowering us on the higher the frequency experience. And like compassion and gratitude, I feel like gratitude is even higher than love, right? But it, like on that scale of the numbers, the frequency, like when you look at water and you play love, the word love and water, and it makes a pretty pattern, right? I feel like gratitude might even be higher than that.
It's interesting you suggest that, because in some of the recent conversations that I've been having, we've been getting into this idea of a hierarchy or which transcends and includes the other, mm-hmm. and acceptance and gratitude have come in, but not love. Yet.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting. It's an interesting idea to think of one even being potentially superior to another, or maybe, I guess when we say higher frequency, we could think of that in more neutral terms too, mm-hmm. not in terms of a superiority hierarchy, but just like from a scientific perspective,
yeah.
Like violet happens to be a higher frequency than red.
Right.
But you've kind of forced me into this question, I think. What is love?
Great. I think God is love.
So I think, then what is God?
What is God? It's everything. It's the reflection. I keep looking at your plant. There's a reason I keep looking at your plant, because like, it's the conscious spirit within that thing, and it's how I look at it and perceive it. And it can just be a beautiful plant. But then when I get closer to it and I actually communicate with it, it becomes this honest, like, loving communication. And then I'm interacting with the spirit of this thing. And then, so love for me is like communion with your living experience. I don't, you know, love is, Love is acceptance, is understanding. It feels like to me the greatest form of truth. And again, like that is God. And so what is God? God is all. God is like the creator of, you know, it's all, we all are in it. It's so crazy, you know, when you think about it, when you can like just like melt into the, you know, the infinite abyss and like lay down and, or, you know, in breath work and just like feel melted into everything. And that's love and that's God and that's everything. But then we like come back into our like fractal, like we come back into our form, right? We're constantly like going into form and formless. Like when we sleep, we go into that state of the dream realm and the unknown. But then we like get to come back into this physical form where I think we get to experience all of the emotions and all of the things. But I think overarching, wrapped around all of it, the answer to all the questions is love. And God, you know, you could say it's the, you know, a mother and her baby, you know, you could say it's a man seeing his wife struggling and taking her hand. You know, you could say it's, sometimes it's setting a boundary for yourself. Sometimes it's, you know, slowing down and listening to your body and it, but it could also be the breeze. Like it does, it just feels like it's everything to me. And when we step into and drop into love, it makes us approach experiences in life with greater ease and understanding of others. If I'm living in a state of fear or discomfort or, you know, fear of abandonment, then I'm not going to be my fullest authentic self with you, which isn't as trusting that you're going to have my safety. And so there's no way to really have that true love experience because I'm not acting from a state of love. Like I really am not acting from a state of fear. It feels like if you're acting, you know, from a state of fear, then the energy that you're outputting is an energy of fear toward this experience. Let's say I'm dating somebody new and I see him out at an event or something. And if I'm in a state of love, then I have the expectation that I belong and I just love everything and love myself and I just feel good in my body and feel, and it's not just confidence, I just feel love, then I'm going to walk up to him and be like, hey, and da da da, and not be whatever. But if I'm fearful because I'm afraid of not belonging or afraid of being judged or afraid that he doesn't want to see me or blah, 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 like then I'm not, then I don't do the thing and I don't make the approach. And that's making a choice and that's casting the direction of your life toward more of like a path of fear. And we always have these experiences and opportunities to continue to direct that path. And so when I say like, when we think of what would love do, to be able to drop in and like, let go of the fear, like feel like the feeling like, you know, of what that is and think of what would love do. Looking at you through the eyes of love, like how can I see you? Like if you were to say something that and I get triggered and I get offended, to just sit with that. And it's really about allowing yourself to pause and allowing us to like kind of create a new experience. And a lot of the communication stuff that I learned has been from IAR and nonviolent communication. And it's allowed me to learn to love myself more, plus a bunch of other books, Letting Go, The Mastery of Love. It's just like really what it all comes down to.
how about a brief pause?
And also, I can see that this is going to be the first sacred conversation where I am going to need a whiteboard. I have been incorporating tools sometimes into my sacred conversations now, like the dictionary. But
yeah,
today I can see that I'm going to need a whiteboard.
Wow.
Because this one's going deep.
Yep.
So I'm writing on my whiteboard. Love versus fear. Mm-hmm. I'm writing love versus belonging. I'm writing love versus acceptance. I'm writing love versus separateness. Because you are throwing a lot of cards down the table here, girl. And I want to get into all of it.
You gotta like rein me in a little bit. Go off on tangents.
No, we're getting somewhere.
Cool.
I'm glad you brought up IAR, because I wanted to bring that up also from the perspective of when I was developing intentional autonomous relating, which is, of course, all about relationships and defining them and figuring out how they work and how we can, you know, have better ones with each other and stuff. I, of course, had to figure out love. Mm-hmm. I had to at least take a stab at defining it.
Yeah.
Right. And that was one of the most interesting aspects of the whole development process of the framework for me. It was, you know, it's like, so I break relationships down, as you know, mm-hmm. I break relationships down into 10 major channels that I, as I call them, which are connection, affection, intimacy, love, sex, partnership, friendship, spirituality, and mentoring, and mm-hmm. family. So I break them down. So love to me is a channel in, you know, a framework of a relationship that we can have, you know, equivalent to something like intimacy or friendship, for example. But when I got to that part of like, well, what exactly is love? I realized like, oh, well, I'm taking on one of the major philosophical problems of humanity, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, this is going to be tricky. But what I noticed in sort of taking that stab at it myself with some help as well, was that it seems to me that love is a word that different people use to mean different things mm-hmm. at different times. It's almost like, I kind of compare it, and I hope this isn't culturally insensitive, but there's a story about, you know, indigenous people of the Arctic and how many words they have for snow. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, depending on your environment, you may have a much, much more nuanced understanding of some particular phenomenon. Like, we've got 100 different words for snow, but we only have one word for love, even though we seem to have at least 100 different things that we, different, truly different things that we mean mm-hmm. when we use that word. So one of the things that's interesting to me in your monologue is you have said at various points that love is God. Mm. Love is everything. But then I also notice you make a distinction between mm-hmm. love and other things, like particularly fear. So maybe love is not everything. Maybe there is something that is not love. Does that help us to define whatever it is that love is?
Wow.
Is love like one polarity of energy and fear is another polarity, like a yin and a yang, or a light and a shadow? Or like, what do you think about that as far as your concept of what love is?
Yeah, that's challenging to me because, you know, when I say love is God, I really do think God is everything. I think that fear is God. I think it's all, you know, it all is. It just all
is. Therefore, love is fear.
Well, it doesn't feel, you know, it feels more of like a polarity thing, but it also feels like everything, which is really strange to me. So you're asking me this question. It's like,
that's what we're here to do.
Blowing my mind right now.
We are doing the play.
I'm just like, I don't know, man. I could like close my eyes and channel and be like, spirit, tell me, what is love?
Do that. I would love to know.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like... the concept of it being in the aspect of polarity. So I think that love is the answer to all of the sort of negative poles. So like, if you see, you know, you've got grief, look, like we did that. We did that. We wrote down, you know, grief and love and da 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 and love. And I feel like it's this overarching component that helps us to integrate and understand those feelings and emotions more deeply. Because if we bring it's the magical elixir for the equation. It's the thing that can come in. It's not the, it doesn't feel like it's the opposite. It's the spirit that can come into your body or come into like come into that emotion. It like puts itself into grief and like breaks it down for you to see it for what it is with acceptance. And we can also try to joy ourselves out of things and not look at it. And I don't think love is spiritual bypassing. I think love is the most powerful thing. It's like the fountain of which all things come. And it's gifting us these experiences of grief and sadness or whatever that's on this pole so that because we came here to experience, right? But if we ride it on the coattails of loving awareness and understanding of it, we can see these things from a higher perspective. And I think that's what love gives us, is the higher perspective. And it makes us be able to live this earthly experience as awakened beings in an easier way, only because of the power of love.
Do you agree that love and joy are not the same?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Do you think that love is an emotion?
I don't think it is. I guess it could be, but I really think of it as more than that. Like, I think it's a state of being.
Hmm. Are all emotions a state of being?
I would sure hope not.
Okay.
You know?
What is a state of being?
Well, because, like, I think that you can embody the presence of loving awareness throughout your experience, and you can be in a state of discomfort with loving awareness and with love.
Sure.
And you can, I guess, like, you can have joy too, but that feels more polar. I think you can be sad. Like, you can love and sadness. Like, you know, like, you're grieving a loss of someone wrapped in love, right? So they go together. And grieving, it's like more, it's harder to find joy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people can wear grief and embody grief as like, but more so, I guess, like, a state of being could be like, I'm depressed. You know, when people just like, I am, you're claiming that to be a state of being. So I think anything that we claim to be, you know, that's a whole other conversation is the I am, but.
Well, is anything that we experience, is experience synonymous with being?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Well, what's the difference then? What is being?
So, like, being, it's funny. So there's another podcast that where I've learned a lot of, it's called Ancestral Wisdom, and it speaks so much about love and about how the like ancient cultures and like leaders or would say, I'm experiencing pain, but I feel happy. I'm experiencing sadness, but my spirit is great. That's why that's how I've like learned. And so
to me, it sounds like you're describing a complex experience, which all of which collectively is a state of being. What do you think about that? I mean, what is being? Like, I'm still trying to get at that.
Yeah.
Like, what's the distinction that you're making about?
I think being is the I am. It's a statement of who you are as a person, who you be. So I am not.
Oh, it's about pain. Identity.
Right.
It's about identifying with experience.
Yeah.
Okay, I see now.
Yes.
I see.
God, I love playing with you because you're so good at asking the questions with our, you know, helping with articulation.
Well,
so
I love playing with you because I'm learning all these kind of things about love. Okay. This is great. All right. So being has to do with your kind of deep, true identity. And so you can be in a state, but that's not necessarily equivalent to any given experience that you're having. Any perception, environmental stimulus, even feelings and emotions that you're having. So for people that think of love as an emotion, like put it on like a list, for example, that I have a list of say 7 basic emotions, like joy, love, fear, sadness / pain, guilt, shame, and of course, anger.
Yeah, that's a big one.
What do you think about, like, so maybe just for a moment, setting aside these other definitions of love, have you experienced love as an emotion?
I probably have, I think, but like, I think of the idea of how love kind of creates these emotions. And I'll explain what I mean by that is like, if I was apathetic, like if I didn't have a strong feeling of like attachment to someone in regards to love, for instance, if I, you know, didn't love my husband, would I have grieved his loss? Or if I didn't love my husband, would I have been angry so much when he relapsed or lied to me? Because I probably wouldn't care. So if I didn't care, then would I be angry? Like if I didn't have love? So So for love to, it's like its own, it may be, and it can be, I guess, an emotion, but I think you feel turned on, or you feel we fall in love. I think that it can be both. So I think it can be like we have a resonance with someone that makes us, has us like feel feelings, fall in love with them and have that connection and attachment to them in a greater way. And also I can love all of these other people as well, but that deeper bonding connection, there is something to that emotional spark, but I don't know if that's love or it pre-exists within us that when that's what we are embodying, and that attraction to someone that maybe anchors in a deeper love, would that be called something else?
Well, I think so sometimes. I think that many times we get mixed up, as you know, from my IAR work/play, that we get mixed up between sex and love. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we get mixed up between intimacy and love or affection and love. Mm-hmm. Like we feel these different things. Like I just wrote down on my list here, love versus care. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like yet another kind of aspect or facet of love that I think we sort of roll into this conglomeration. Mm-hmm. Of different states, feelings, experiences, whatever beingness, whatever these things may be, then it's one of them. I think that we many times make an equivalence between I care for you and I love you. Mm-hmm. But I care for you, to me, also can be an expression of affection. Mm-hmm. Or you mentioned being turned on. Mm-hmm. Like I'm attracted to you.
Right.
We make an equivalence to I love you sometimes, where really I lust. For yeah. you mm-hmm. might be more accurate.
Right.
Or I feel very close to you. Mm-hmm. I love you. When maybe what would be more accurate is to say, I feel a deep sense of intimacy with you. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I know you. I feel like you know me. We roll all of these things together into these kind of experiences that we call love, especially in relationship to other people. But then it seems that, especially in our circles, people talk a lot about a more of a universal experience of love, which is, I think, what you started with.
Yeah.
You know, love is God. Love is everything. Love is, sometimes people talk about it as like a universal field that connects us together. Or maybe it is even the actual fundamental force of the universe that gives rise to everything.
I believe that to be true.
It's like, how do we sort all this out, though?
I know. How do we sort all this out, right? Gosh, man, when you talk about relationships, right? Like love in that sense, like what's you add on the word unconditional, you know, and it's like, what does that truly mean? And do you have to say unconditional? Shouldn't love just be unconditional? Or maybe it does come with conditions, but maybe it's not love that comes with conditions. It's I love because I love you, and because love is universal, and just my heart, love, and like, yay, love. But, you know, relating with you sexually or intimately in a relationship or a partnership is not something I wish to do anymore. So this condition that isn't met or whatever. But, and then if we truly seek to have that unconditional love, can we accept them fully for who they are, warts and all? That's where the depth and the growth and the expansion comes from. But it can be challenging, you know, the greater, you know, that fear is present. But just like speaking to those certain things in communication in a relationship, but it takes also you knowing yourself. So there's a lot of that like reflection and self-awareness that comes to play. Monologue complete.
Well, how about the fact that we don't have this conversation.
Right.
As adults, let alone as kids.
Yeah.
I mean, most kids eventually at some point, you know, in their childhood get the sex talk by their parents. Do you know anyone? Did you ever get the love talk?
Right. No.
I never got the love talk.
Yeah.
Nobody even taught me like, what is love? I'm just supposed to like pick it up from the environment, from osmosis. No wonder we're so confused because what do we each individually get modeled?
Oh, God.
That then gets attached to this label for us that we say, oh, well, I don't know, the way my parents acted, that must be love. Or the way that my first, you know, childhood or, you know, high school romance played out, well, that must be love. Or the way I've seen it happen on TV or mm-hmm. read in books or however, wherever those that information comes to us. Oh, I guess that's what love is supposed to be. No wonder we're so messed mm-hmm. up about it, because like we're not actually even coming to coherence with ourselves and with each other about what we even think this concept means.
Yeah.
So that's why I think this conversation is so cool. When you come back to that idea, when you brought up that idea of unconditional love, mm-hmm. I think that's fantastic, because to me, that's a program that has an opportunity to be something really, really beautiful. But I think more often than not, unfortunately, it becomes dysfunctional mm-hmm. for us in terms of creating this ideal of something that we're supposed to experience or that we're supposed to feel naturally. Mm-hmm. Or like if we're not able to accomplish that feeling of something that's fully unconditional, that therefore we're wrong or broken or, you know, we just haven't done enough work yet or something like that. But to me, it comes back to this other piece that we talked about with love versus acceptance versus gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so me and GLAAD did some really cool productive play on acceptance, mm-hmm. which I think laid a lot of the groundwork for where we are now. And then me and Raj, I really should clean up my grammar. Raj and I did some cool productive play on gratitude versus mm-hmm. acceptance, mm-hmm. where what we came around to was that acceptance is sort of like the lowest level, let's put it. And I'm not trying to put it as a superiority, inferiority thing. I'm just saying that like when you strip away, the more things that you strip away and strip away and strip away, eventually you get to acceptance, where acceptance is really just kind of that like, I am, I am, I am, I am, right? That it, this is, mm-hmm. that kind of like a peace level of frequency. It's not necessarily any particular emotional state. It's just unfiltered reality mm-hmm. is acceptance. And then what we thought we discovered in that conversation, Raj and I, is that gratitude is actually a way of transforming judgment into acceptance. Mm. So gratitude is a way of taking something that feels like this is bad, this is wrong, this is not what I would like it to be, and then washing it with love in a way, mm-hmm. washing it with, I'm thankful for this, as painful as this was, as joyful as this was, as whatever this was, I'm thankful for this, I love this, this is good. Mm-hmm. It transforms that judgment from bad into good, which allows us to get to, I accept this, this is. And so coming full circle back around to love, my sense in this conversation right now is that what we really mean when we say unconditional love is we really mean acceptance. Mm. That's what I think we mean. Mm. To say like, I love you unconditionally, to me, it more than anything else, what it means is I accept you exactly as you are. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does make sense. And it's funny what you talked about. It just made me think of like alchemy, spiritual alchemy. And that's truly like what we're here, who we are, you know, as beings. Like we're taking these experiences and using the power of that awareness and that love and gratitude and turning it into something beautiful. And I think like, it makes it easier throughout our daily lives when it's a practice, right? Everybody talks about the thing of cutting someone off, like you get, if you just don't care, if you just accept it, if you're just like kind of, but then the things that are cool, you're just like, look at that, that was amazing. And the things that are crappy, you're just like, I think it just helps you navigate things in a more negotiable way when you're unbothered by things.
The first time that I encountered the whole concept of love versus fear, or that like love and fear are the only two real true emotional states, like you can boil everything down, you know, all those seven that I mentioned before, you can eventually boil them down to just love and fear. It's like this ultimate binary of the universe, mm-hmm. was in Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. Have you read that stuff?
I haven't read all of it.
But you're kind of familiar with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it also shows up in A Course in Miracles, yeah. although I haven't read that, but I think that's all that stuff is kind of derived from the same source material in a certain way, right?
Source material. There's a reason that there's so many different texts and information gifted to us to tell us the same thing, because it's like, wake up, all you need is love, John Lennon. Like, let's go. It's the freaking answer, and it's written everywhere. We have the power to choose to create our reality, that love is the answer, the bow that you put on everything, and it's how we rise and elevate and shift into consciously creating, and everything is true. Every single thing. You say a thing, like your belief and your belief and his belief and that belief, and it's like, yes, yeah, it's yes and.
Yes, yes, yes. So love is the answer. Okay. What is it? What do we mean by that?
What does it feel like for you if you were to close your eyes and just like close your eyes, take a deep breath in your nose, and just slow down? And you can play this game where you can connect to your senses and ask your body to, we'll start with a different emotion, right? So, you know, what does excitement feel like? And just like breathe into your body and feel what excitement feels like. See if that can, you know, give you a resonance for a moment.
Okay, I got excitement on mine.
Okay, great. And now let's go with sadness. What does feel sadness? But don't stay there too long.
I'm there.
Okay, great. Now let's go to joy.
All right.
And then take a deep breath and ask your body, like ask spirit, ask your body to show you love.
It feels like super calm, extremely peaceful, contented, but with achiness around my heart, like not bad, mm-hmm. but like poignant, like sort of like the kind of achy, like this sort of good pain that you feel when you're stretching, stretching in a really mm-hmm. good way. That's it's not beautiful. Necessarily comfortable, but I like it, weirdly, you know.
For me, it's funny that you mentioned I instantly felt like held and wrapped. Like I felt so an emotional. I felt like tears of, I felt safe. I felt just like soft and warm and soothed and comfort. And I saw like Mother Earth, like I saw like inside the earth, kind of like a body attached to a tree. Like I just, it was like this cocoon, this like safe, this beautiful, but I also like physically felt wrapped up. So it's funny that we both felt like the contentment and whatever, and I can understand the ache, like that feeling, and it's powerful, and I really think it has a consciousness.
Yeah, there's something about that for me. I don't know why, but when I'm feeling what I call the emotion of love, the stronger it is, the more it hurts. Weirdly, but not in a bad way. It's not like the kind of pain, you know, it's not damaging pain.
Yeah.
But for some reason, there's something very achy about it. But for me, it's interesting that you talk about feeling wrapped and cocooned. I also felt safe.
Yeah.
But for me, it was very more outward reaching and outward mm-hmm. facing. And it felt more like me being the one doing the wrapping or me being the one doing the cocooning. But like, I think having like a really, really like deep, complete sense of safety in that, like yeah. I am taken care of. And now mm-hmm. I want to envelop, you know, someone, something, another being. That's interesting. I, I'm, impressed by how easily you were able to guide me into bringing those emotional states online. Because I was actually going to push back just a little bit before you started that exercise with me and say, like, well, you realize, you know, you're trying to kind of push the buttons on an Android over here. You know, like when I listen to these sacred conversations, sometimes I've mentioned this to Dawn before. I find it funny because it almost sounds to me like an alien robot come to Earth to try and like discover like, what is this love that you all talk about? Like, describe it to me.
Oh my gosh.
Can you please help me understand it?
Yeah.
And we're talking about all these like deep human conditions and stuff. But yeah, you're really good at that. That was a beautiful little exercise.
Thank you.
I think anyone could follow along with that and really start to dial into and really identify with the assistance of spirit, I think is a great idea. Their own, what they mean. What does this label mean to me? What does this actually feel like? Try to isolate it in a safe environment like this. So that later on, when maybe I'm experiencing a more complex emotional state or experience, it'd be easier to dial into, yeah, this is an interesting mix of fear, joy, and sadness, or fear, love, and shame, or whatever those things may be.
It would be a great practice. And it's so funny. I'm glad we ended up doing that. And it was just kind of divinely guided. But because we're sitting here attempting to analyze their mind, the concept of love, when like all of the things in the teachings are like, get out of your head and into your heart, or out of your head and into your heart. And we're trying to like use our mind to conceptualize this thing. So like, you want to know what love is? Well, ask love to show you what it is. Like, why don't you feel it? Go into your heart. People are like, go into your heart. What does that even mean? Not everybody kind of has an understanding of that. And so, you know, people, I'm excited for more and more people to come to that, because they're so busy, go, 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 head, and don't know how it feels to just like sit in your body and breathe and really feel the experience of surrender. And a lot of us have gotten it through medicine journeys, right? And or through breath work, which you've talked about was really powerful for you. But just like coming into that slow down and that breath and allowing us to feel, because we're energetic, we're energy. And so like we can, when we sit and we slow down, this is where it's getting like, I feel we can like expand our whatever molecules, like creating spaciousness to like, it's not visible necessarily, but we can like push out our soul, our spirit to become more energetic and tune in and have the capacity when we slow down and we just settle and we can instantly like drop into the feeling. And for me, like, it's funny, like grief, you're thinking about grief or heartache or sadness or whatever, like when love comes in, it feels more conscious. Like grief feels like a memory attached. Like I have a memory that goes with grief. Well, if I want to find out what grief is, I think about a sad moment that happened and I kind of try to feel it, right? But when you ask what love is, it just comes in on its own and you don't have to think of a person, place, or thing. You can ask the energy and the essence of love to come in, is how I feel.
I think that's one version of it, or maybe just one aspect of it. If it is actually one thing, I still have a suspicion that we're using one word to refer to more than one thing.
Like in life in general or in this conversation or both?
In both.
Yeah.
But in life, especially in general.
Yeah.
Especially when you say like a person, place, or thing. Like it seems to me that, I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe this is just my experience or maybe I'm wrong, but to say I love you versus to say I love Arizona versus to say I love ice cream.
Yeah.
Are like three very different things. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe it's really all somehow aspects of the same thing. And I guess the deeper we go with the whole universality of this concept of what we're talking about, the more things can tie back to it. But coming back to before the exercise you guided me through, I was asking the question like, okay, what is it? If we're saying it, love is the answer, John Lennon style. Well, what is it? So, okay, based on what I felt, it is a combination of peace, calm, safety, genuine care for others, compassion, and maybe a sense of connectedness, like kind of tying all those concepts together. And that would make sense, right? If that was what we were feeling most or all of the time, and that was how we were treating each other, coming from that place, that experience, that state of being, if you will. Yeah, that would be a pretty good step in the direction of the answer, whatever that even means. But like, I feel like there's so much more complexity to it, especially like in my IAR practice, I was able to break down the idea of love into, well, several different things, but I'll just focus on two of them for right now. One is that emotional state that we just described, that feeling, let's just call it. But another one is love as a verb. To love. What does that mean?
Yeah.
To love and to be loved. We desire that. We maybe even feel that we have a need for that. That, I think, brings me back to something else on my whiteboard here that came of one of your earlier statements, which is love versus belonging. I'm reminded of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where love and belonging actually occupy the same tier. It's like love / belonging.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, either one, take your pick. Maybe a little right. bit of both, right? Like yeah. whatever. Yeah. That's interesting, huh? But to be loved is interesting to me, because what that seems to mean, I think, for most people is certain behaviors that are enacted in a relationship. I feel loved when you remember my birthday. You buy me flowers. You are there to support me, you know, when I need emotional support. Whatever are the types of things that we do for each other in relationship that demonstrate to the other person through behavior that we are feeling that thing, that sort of give you the evidence or give you the reason to believe that I do feel love in your presence. What do you think about all that?
Oh, I got so much. All right. Like, you're going to be taking notes. I need you to write down, I would like for you to write down, please, is do you guys see how I switched my request?
I know so.
Would you please write down falling in love with, like, life? Like, it's this tantra thing, right?
Uh-huh.
But as far as what you just spoke of, man, it's all a mirror and it's all mirror work in my opinion. And so when we're saying you do this and it makes me feel love, we're putting that like on someone else. And
well, no, I'm saying something different. I think that is a thing.
Yeah.
100%. I'm saying something slightly different.
Okay.
I'm saying you do this and I believe that you feel love.
Oh, okay.
Slightly different.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And also, it's still, I get it, because I feel the documentation, like this most recent relationship experience that I'm in, it's so, there's like so much awareness and like how I am feeling, our beliefs create our reality, and how I am feeling internally and how I reflect that feeling or that state or that being out into the world, because that's how I'm radiating, is how that person perceives me and how life all around kind of seems to unfold. For the most part, it's pretty like self-aware and high up there, but there's moments of experiencing doubt or insecurity or any sort of thing, and I'm having to or choosing to process before communicating with someone so that I'm like aware of my emotions, but I can respond, or I can be in a state that is more associated with love. This feels like so much, but it's like I really want to unpack it properly, because when I don't process, and when we respond quickly and we react, when we don't respond, when we don't take the time to give to ourselves, and we're energized because of pre-existing fear or conditions that cause the pain and the pattern, and we let that be the thing that runs our show, and we don't consciously, you know, drop in to the state of love, then we're reacting and what we're going to get back, what we're putting out toward ourselves. And that's just the little thing that can cause little talking nasty or little misjudgments or little misunderstandings that can like lead to dissonance, right? And that can be caused by certain things. Like when I received my diagnosis, I went through like a real quiet storm for a while of like being very emotional and feeling like sadness, but not having a name for it, because like I have this understanding that everything's going to be okay, but why am I feeling? And so then I'm in my mind and I'm thought looping, and it just is that until I recognize, okay, I have a toolkit, a shadow worker's dossier of what to do when I'm feeling in this experience. The art of letting go, feeling emotions, being aware, getting it out, processing it, moving it through the body, and doing all of those things that I don't want to be the hierarchy of like elevating the frequency, but like moving the energy about so there's spaciousness for clarity and for seeing, and not the heaviness. Because like the sadness or like that, if you feel heavier, you don't feel as light. And so there's something about light and dark, heavy and not heavy. They coincide, and it's not a hierarchy. It is that polarity, and it is that way, like density, right? But then there's something to that density. There's a reason for it. We have to experience all of it. And so in coming back to like in relation, you know, when you act in this way, I feel like you love me, or I feel loved by you, or I feel like you feel love. I think that if I'm in dissonance, that I'm going to receive that and give that to my partner. And even if I try while in a state of dissonance, it's the energy behind it is like an energy of lack or an energy of fear, rather than like actually that free energy of love. But sometimes it takes speaking a need, like I'm experiencing fear of abandonment right now. Like I've had those moments. So at the Eclipse Festival, I was like, I'm feeling a fear of abandonment. Like, are you going to leave me? And blah, blah, blah. Like not in that, just in that moment. And what we did, but that moment, that fear that I had at this big festival of 50,000 people. And I was just like, it like caused him to like put his hand on my heart and like, I'm not leaving you. And we had this transcendental healing experience because I spoke to something that was happening, and I didn't act in a reactive way, and I didn't like get mad, and I didn't crumble. I just articulated it, and even in a heightened state, and because it was, I trusted this person, and I felt safe to share that, and in that moment, and it feels like all of that is love. I feel like the trust to speak that truth is love. And I feel like the response is love. And I think that all of this is, again, a lesson of really allowing the energy and the power and the spirit of the essence that is love to come into our lives. And if we surrender to it, all of the things that we get in fights about is just like when we're out of present and we're thinking in the past, I'm mad about this, 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 and that. That's not love, thinking in that way. Or I'm thinking about future, fear, 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 worry, control. I have to control that it's going to be like this. And so that takes us out of like this very present moment, which is kind of where everything is.
So it's funny because we didn't start out this way, or I didn't start out with this explicit question, even though this is kind of the question that has been on my mind these last few minutes, wanting to kind of close this chapter about love versus fear.
Uh-huh.
And you came around to it naturally.
Yay. Okay, great.
And so what I'm getting from this is a couple of things. One, I think that the range of this experience that I think that we have a much broader range of possible experience, or there are much greater range of, let's say, densities or frequencies or vibrations than just love versus fear. Mm-hmm. I think that's an oversimplification, but I also think that, like many simplifications, it can be useful if we just think of things, and you talked about densities, if we just think of things in sort of a more heavy density versus a lighter density. We kind of look at the obvious natural polarities of the physical world and the universe, from yin-yang, light, shadow, positive, negative, you know, in the electrical world or in the physics world or any of these other ways that seems to be these binaries, there seems to be these polarities. Okay, so one could think of these kind of vibratory frequencies that we experience as emotional and energetic states as being largely simplified into heavy, light, fear, love, let's call it. But when you're talking about your experience with your partner at the festival, I had a real epiphany about this, which is that, okay, so when you were in that moment, having the feelings that you were feeling, it felt like a fear of abandonment, but you chose to flip that polarity. You chose to flip out of that fear resonance into a love frequency, which didn't necessarily look in the moment, original moment, as like lovey-dovey kind of love, but it was a kind of love which was a reaching out in honesty, in authenticity, vulnerability, transparency, speaking what was true for you in that moment, choosing not to be in the past or future reactive state, but choosing to be in the present moment with what you were feeling and sharing those feelings. What I'm getting from all of that is love is, if we're going to reduce emotions to two states, love is that state that represents expansion, openness, and reaching out. Whereas fear represents contraction, closedness, or pulling back. Like we could kind of, that seems like to me a useful simplification of the love versus fear paradigm and saying like, hey, can we try this more from a love perspective? And sometimes I think maybe it is appropriate, actually. Maybe fear is a perfectly appropriate state in certain circumstances for self-protection.
Well, I think that there is an element of, so like I resonate with the outward expansion expression, the fear is that like
pulling back,
contraction. I think that maybe another way to put it, going inward is healthy at times. I think you can go inward in a conscious, loving way. And maybe it doesn't have to be necessarily associated with fear. I'm not going inward for fear. I'm contracting intentionally to check in with myself, to have my boundaries, to see what's me. Because again, when we do go into like human design and our open centers and and what's mine, what's yours, and it's important to be able to come into your own field of resonance, because we're taking on so many other people's things and stuff and tapping into all those other energies around. And so that's like, again, another conversation when you move through the world. Like if you say love is connection and that joyful connecting state, man, you just like make friends everywhere, dog. Like the gate people at my parents' neighborhood, they're all just like, we're just like, hey, how's it going? You just like, when you slow down, give yourself enough time to like connect with those that are in resonance, because it's not always, it's not everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Or even just like taking time to witness. Again, it's like going out in the world in that love, witnessing through the eyes of love and expanded state. It can look like awareness of someone else's needs, and that really makes a difference in a relationship. And it can look like expressing your needs like I did at the festival. And it can look like just like desiring to understand someone and like know their story. And just like when you say, how are you? Like, feel like, yeah, what? Yeah. Taking the time to just like have a little chit chat with people. It can change your life, their life, and the frequency of the environment around you and them and all the people that come into contact with it.
Totally, totally. This is the whole philosophy of Forever Fest. Have we talked about this before?
No.
Oh, okay. That's a whole different conversation.
Oh, man. Forever
Fest. I'm not going to get into it right now, but we'll get into it some other time. It's something I came up with a few years ago.
Yes. But, I feel like kind of
it's
heard
just
of it.
The idea that, in short, very briefly, it's just the idea of, why do we go to the festival and play love
right
for three days and then go back to the grind, go back to work, go back to being a dick, basically. Yeah. Like, we go into the festival and like everybody's all loving and accepting and empathetic and compassionate and supportive, and like we're playing this like little love like utopia game.
Yeah.
And then we go back and we just go back to being a dick. And it's like, wait,
yeah,
what if we actually just went back to life but with that exact same mindset and that exact same resonance and presentation and just treated everyone like that all the time? What would the world be like? And I guess that's just kind of like what John Lennon was trying to say too, right?
Well, when we were in Kauai with Whitney and Sarah, like it was, that's, we're just like, you just do heaven. And in mm-hmm. Portugal, it was like, you just do heaven everywhere. And people were amazed by us because mm-hmm. we were like, so, we're like, hi, you know, so happy about everything and joyful and like just looking through the eyes of wonder, like a child mm-hmm. in yeah. awe and gratitude and receptivity and right. acceptance. And something happens, that's okay, no big deal. Da, da, da. You're just like easy. And you're just being love everywhere. It's mm-hmm. like, it can, you can do that. You can come into Austin Forever Fest.
Totally.
You
can do Forever Fest anywhere.
You can do Forever Fest.
However, also, I think it is true that not everyone is doing Forever Fest everywhere.
Right.
And so I think this kind of brings me back to the point I was trying to make a minute ago. And we're just kind of like, once again, trying to close this chapter about love and fear. But I guess what I'm starting to realize better and better through our conversation that we're having right now is just having an appreciation for both.
Mm.
Like mm-hmm. yin and yang are not, one's not good and the other one bad. They right. are inseparable, right? They mm. they have to complete each other. Positive and negative electrical poles. Positive is not the good one. A negative, the bad one. Mm-hmm. You can't have electricity without both. Like yeah. they mm-hmm. makes a circuit. And I'm kind of looking at that as that I think there's something judgmental and inaccurate. Like I think there's a misunderstanding maybe of this love and fear model that comes from the source material, as we call it, which is that there's some kind of an idea that one is good and the other is bad, and that there's some sort of a goal, like where we win the game when we get to 100% mm-hmm. love and 0% fear. And what I'm kind of wondering right now is it's like everything is cyclical. Everything mm-hmm. is in vibration. Everything is in oscillation. There's an expansion because previously there was a contraction. There's a contraction mm-hmm. because previously there was an expansion. We breathe in, we breathe out. You know, the sun goes up, the sun goes down, mm-hmm. like all of these different things. And so I'm just looking at that as to what extent can we actually discharge whatever attachments that we have to both of these states and then come into more of a harmony of, yeah, I'm going through a contraction right now. I feel like it's time for me to pull back right now. It's time for me to set boundaries right now. And you know, that doesn't necessarily represent, it doesn't have to represent a cutting myself off mm-hmm. from the rest of experience. I think certainly there's an equal and opposite approach to life that many people enact compared to Forever Fest, like what we were talking about, which is going through life in a state of heavy fear mm-hmm. consciousness, you know, deliberately not talking to other people, deliberately not being open emotionally, energetically, or being receptive to anyone, engaging with everyone as a potential conflict, you know, conflict mm-hmm. until proven otherwise, kind of approach to life. And I don't know, I'm just looking for balance, I think. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that fear shows us what is still living in our body, like patterns and beliefs. So I think it shows up to show us what we still get to work through and communicate through. Because I do think that eventually there will be a state in this consciousness, this evolution, where we will transcend that, but that can't last forever again, because it's, everything's cyclical, right? And it won't last forever, and we'll come back into the cycle of having, you know, the 400 years of, you know, whatever wars of fear, it's going to come back again at some point. But we will come to a state where we do transcend that, and but I think what goes with that is like, we're not going to wonder, because we're going to have telepathic connection, and there's like nothing to fear because everything is so transparent. Like, and we're like living in these bodies that are not bodies, and everything, there's nothing, because like we don't have the density experience. And that's where the fear comes in, I think, is comes from the physical experience that we're living in. So yeah, I don't think it's like, I agree that having a balance and maybe not fear the time of contraction and, you know, that, but I think love is wrapped in that. I think not fearing contraction, that's what love is accepting that everything is all.
See, what I'm wondering is if we can actually have, can you actually take, okay, let's look at like the visible light spectrum and say like we judge everything above green as love and everything, you know, below green as fear or like lower density, lower vibration, whatever that is. And we say, you know, we really just want actually blue, indigo, and violet. Mm-hmm. That's all we want. Do we really want to take those other colors out of the spectrum? Could we even have a spectrum without those colors? Could we have a yin without a yang? If you take the, you know, if you take the yang off the yin, like what do you actually have anything that even is functional or is complete? What I'm wondering is, and this comes from the, one of the recent conversations I had with JJ actually, which had to do with coming to a place of enjoyment of the full spectrum of the full richness of emotional states. Mm-hmm. And I asked the question, I was like, well, what do you mean by enjoyment? Because to me, joy is itself an emotion. So how do you have joy and shame? How do you have joy and sadness or whatever that may be? Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, it's obvious. Like you can overlap your emotional states and right. have a complex
yeah.
experience.
Yeah.
But what we got to was what he really meant was, and what I understand and agree with is that it's not so much about enjoying shame, but it's about appreciating the richness of that experience, savoring. That was mm-hmm. the word we came to, like savoring that experience for what it is. And so that's mm-hmm. kind of what I'm wondering about this love versus fear thing is weirdly, maybe we can just stop being afraid of fear. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds contradictory, but
yeah.
you know what I mean.
I know exactly
what you mean.
Yeah.
Like recognizing I'm going through a contraction, recognizing, you know, I'm going through a powerful emotional experience that I would not describe as the frequency of love in this moment, but not judging that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
It's about removing the judgment.
If you're like, I feel angry right now and I feel like labeling it is really important to be able to appreciate it without judgment, because having an understanding of what it is and being able to label what it is feels really powerful. But like a lion is coming at you, you're going to feel fear. Maybe you don't. Maybe some people don't. But like that is a healthy response mechanism that we can be fully grateful for, and it activates a charge within us and it does something to our body and it creates.
Here's an idea.
Yeah.
Get on a roller coaster.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
You are experiencing simultaneously love and fear. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the trick.
Yeah.
Maybe the trick is how can we unify this experience rather than judging one is good, one is bad. And I think going through kind of alternating forms of bypassing, like you used the word bypassing earlier, like maybe that's really what it's about, is being able to love our fear and somehow, you know, incorporate the beauty of fear, whatever that looks like, into our love.
Yeah, I agree. But then I come to this thinking of like when I first started in this open kind of relating and witnessing my love with someone else, like seeing it with my eyes or thinking about it, it would simultaneously trigger a turn on and an extreme ache and pain in my heart. And like what I did not, I was like, this is so powerful together, this charge. And you're just like, whoa. Then it got to the point through our conversation, through communicating and boundary and all of like him showing up in a really grounded, loving, present, great divine way and making me feel safe. Suddenly that turn on was just turn on, and it turned into love and compersion. And let me tell you what, I certainly enjoyed that experience better because it didn't come with the contraction of me having to go hide and like process and feel in my feelings. And then, but all of that was also beautiful because it led me to go sit with tobacco and I sit with grandfather Rabe and I'm just like, okay, help me to understand. And so I'm weaving through these beautiful different emotions and like, what does it mean? And really having this profound human experience. But when I was able to transcend that, I will say like, it's a lot more fun and easy to navigate when I'm not experiencing fear. When I can unconditionally love and accept this experience and just like be in the love of it, it's great. Mm-hmm. My energy is great. What I put into the experience is great. How I feel is great. How they feel is great. It's all great and it's amazing and so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so I think having all of it makes us appreciate, but I do feel like it's better. It's just like, I want to have all of it to be aware. Like I'm living the experience, I'm experiencing pain, I'm experiencing sadness and grief and whatever. And, mm-hmm. and like, and able to, you know, be aware of that and put a label to that. But I still think that living in that state of ease and grace just allows for life experiences to be better for all.
So maybe we can move or shift or elevate our own personal center of gravity in terms of our, say, default resonant frequency. Maybe mm-hmm. we can maintain our range, but we can kind of shift up the scale mm-hmm. and choose to be in the frequencies that we prefer.
Yeah.
More often.
Yeah.
You know, I had an idea a couple of years ago that sometimes I think that some of the conflicts or tensions that we have in relationship come from the fact that we have kind of different natural resting places. Mm-hmm. And let's say the emotional harmonic spectrum, both on the light side and on the dense side, where at least in one case, I felt I noticed in a relationship that I was having that my light frequency tends to default more to joy mm-hmm. and my dense frequency tends to default more to anger. Mm-hmm. Whereas this other person, their light frequency defaulted more to love and their dense frequency defaulted more to shame.
Mm.
And it seemed like those were kind of like oil and water mm-hmm. because like when we were vibing high, they wanted love and I wanted joy mm-hmm. and we weren't really meeting there. And then when we were vibing low, they were experiencing shame and I was experiencing more anger. We weren't vibing there either. I just think that's interesting. Do you notice that too? That like sometimes they're kind of like our high vibe and our low vibe states. We can have sort of a natural center of gravity that we fall into. And then that, have you ever thought about how that could create some of the recurring conflicts that we sometimes have in relationships where it's just like, what we're expecting from each other isn't what we're getting.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you like how you like recognize that and if you talked about it and what you did and how you move forward and how you communicate about it because I'm so curious like in that, like I want to know like, okay, when you figured that out, like what do you recognize it, then what do you do? Because I really believe it's communication is super important in those experiences. And also I think when we are in our most aligned state. Now that doesn't mean the highest. I'm my highest self. So I'm like my best, but just maybe when my most favored or I'm most aligned with where I am supposed to be right now. And I get a match. And so the match is in his most aligned state. We're not always there. So we're not always like in that, but like we come together. And so we're meant to be in this experience. So a lot of these things are going to line up because like of how we are together. But let's say I have a need for, this actually has happened. I'm feeling emotional. I need touch. I need comfort. I want to make love. I want to whatever. And he had a crazy stressful week and he needs solitude and he needs space. And then, holy shit, what do we do to support one another? And like, what does this mean? Is this the end of our thing? And it just means like, this is a relationship and this is us. Like, how do we come together and give each other what we need and come and compromise? And recognizing the ebbs and flows. And I think if my highest state was love and someone else's highest, if I want love and they want joy, like you just can come together and like, well, how, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean when you say, well, you want love? Like, what does that mean to you? Do you want touch? Do you want intimacy? Do you want sex? Do you want to cuddle? Do you want to watch a movie? Like, what do you mean?
That is an awesome question.
Yeah.
I want more people to ask each other that question.
Yeah.
And get clear on, yeah. Okay, when you're saying you're desiring love in this moment.
Yeah.
Please be more specific.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And so like, and let's say you want joy. And it's like, what does that mean? Do you want to go dancing? Do you want to go out to eat? Do you want to laugh? Do you want to play games? Mm-hmm. And then it's
you
like.
You just want to see me smile.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want sex and I want to play games. Like, well, I think we could probably figure something out. You know what I mean? Where everybody gets their needs met.
Naked twister.
Yeah. Naked twister. It's perfect. Yeah. It's all doable. And then the same with like, it's different with low emotions, but it's that recognition of like somebody's been at work all day and they've got a lot of stuff on them from being like, I need to, you know, being aware, like, I need to go do this, this, and this so I can be in a more aligned state and be my whole self so that I can come communicate with you and communicate with you in a grounded way and to recognize that in the moment or before the moment. So it's a constant, it's doing the work of like reevaluating the relationship. What are your needs and evaluating yourself? What are my needs? Like this is like the play of getting to know oneself. And like, if I go to anger, I will pull away and I'll get in my fire feisty thing and like attitude, like you're gonna, oh, really? You know what I mean? So like, I'm going to get in my power or something. And then, I've articulated, if I hide away or if I pull away, I need you to come get me because otherwise I'll just stay. I might stay away or like I need you. And so having that conversation ahead of time, or sometimes I'll say in the moment, I'm feeling anxious avoidant right now and blah, 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 blah. And just like studying and learning and labeling it. And when you label it, it doesn't have the power like over you. It's like that awareness of like, I'm experiencing that. So like,
that's a really interesting insight. Just the power that a label has to like receive a charge, to like externalize, like discharge something and like put it in a container. Like now, okay, it's now my cognitive brain can now work with this.
Right.
That's really interesting. Another thing that's, I'm really happy we're having this conversation and bringing this idea back because I haven't really done anything with it. In terms of productive play, you asked me, like, you fire hosed me with about 17 questions and then didn't allow me to answer. But all of those questions are interesting in terms of, like, what did I do in that relationship with that insight that, we don't vibe on the same emotional frequencies and then blah, 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 and what did we do? And I'm not going to answer any of those questions right now. But what I will say is that I have not done anything with that concept. But now that we're having this conversation, I think I'm realizing that that could be really important and interesting. So what's occurring to me right now is a model that looks like a more complex, maybe more complicated would be a better word, version of the drama triangle.
I don't know what that is.
But where emotional states have like a partnership or partner relationship with each other. The drama, you don't know the drama,
no.
drama triangle?
Mm-mm.
Oh my goodness. Okay. The drama triangles is an amazing evolution of a psychological system called transactional analysis. Simplified version is when we're engaging in petty human dramas, where everybody's blowing up and acting out these repetitive role plays, there's three roles that we typically take on in some relationship with each other, which is victim, persecutor, and rescuer. And each one...
Oh, yes.
Each one of these roles has the opportunity to like trigger another person into the equal and opposite. So somebody jumps into a victim, someone else will likely jump into a persecutor or yeah. jump into a rescuer because they did that. It's like, you know, so they kind of
create. Oh, yeah, I'm familiar for sure. Okay. I've had these experiences, no awareness of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the opposite polarity of the drama triangle, which is called the empowerment triangle, where each of those three roles has an opposite. The opposite of the victim is the creator. The opposite of the persecutor is the challenger. And then the opposite of the rescuer is the coach.
Wow.
So it's like, it's a really, really useful model for detecting like, okay, wait, did I just become a persecutor and thereby create a victim? Or is someone else inviting me to become their rescuer by putting out victim energy? And then how can I flip that around? Mm-hmm. And anyone can flip it. So just like you can trigger someone into it, you can also flip your own switch and invite someone out of it by going into the opposite mm-hmm. roles. Well, I'm now imagining a rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock kind of scenario with emotional states, where I wonder if in this particular relationship I had, like, we detected something about the relationship between anger and shame, mm-hmm. that those are not good compliments, like they don't work well together. Mm-hmm. But what would work well together? Like, what is the, you talked about getting needs met, but additionally, I wonder if there's these kind of triggering situations that we can get ourselves into where we're actually spiraling further and further out mm-hmm. by not recognizing our own personal tendency mm-hmm. to go into a specific state that's triggering for the other person, and that's further triggering to us, and so on and so forth. We don't even see that this is happening. But if we could kind of map this out and figure it out and say, oh, okay, this is kind of like the drama triangle. I have a tendency to go anger in the same way that I have a tendency to go, let's say, rescuer mm-hmm. or victim or whatever that is. You have a tendency to go shame, and that shame actually provokes my anger mm-hmm. and my anger actually provokes your shame, and like, okay, that's a bad mix.
Right.
So what, how do we actually then flip the polarity and go into supportive roles mm-hmm. with each other when we detect that to help discharge the situation?
Yeah. There's, you know, a lot to unpack around that. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of it is coming to terms with like self-reflecting on what it means for us. So like when I'm in anger, what does that look like for me? I think it would be easier for me to associate it with something that I do experience more common, but this is also helpful with, you know, mother, you know, child parent relationships, because my triggers are completely different, you know, with him than, you know, with my partner. Although, you know, I don't like to be ignored by mm-hmm. either. So like mm-hmm. maybe there's something to that, but the reaction I think is different. Like the triggered reaction would be different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wonder, it just takes the consciousness and the awareness and the desire to evolve and to have these conversations. And maybe somebody who has the anger thing, it's personal to them how to like get out of it. Or it's communicating like pre-communication when you're not in these things. Like what would feel good for you? Yeah. Let's say I recognize blah, blah, blah. Like I know, like my mom, she shuts down and she does not, she will not, or she's going to be nasty. So she will just walk away and just like ignore you and like F off. And I want to push because I'm Aries and I'm fire and I want to get, and we'll let it simmer. I'm gonna like talk. I want to get it out.
I'm the same way. I will oftentimes make situations much, much worse because I can't let them go until it's resolved.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we have to fix this. And it's like, no, you have to give me a week.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
We're not gonna resolve this
right now.
Yeah. And it's just getting worse.
Yes.
But yeah, what I'm really trying to talk about, I think, with this complementary emotions thing, is something analogous to the love languages. Mm-hmm. Like we have these preferences, we have these predispositions or these tendencies to mm-hmm. like want a certain thing, where what I noticed in this specific relationship that I really think could be more universal in terms of just shining light on one of the mysterious ways that we create dysfunction, or that dysfunction shows up, in our relationships that we can't figure out is that I think with these complementary emotional defaults, let's call it, this person's love was not soothing my anger.
Mm-hmm.
And my joy was not soothing their shame. So it's not just that the denser emotional states could be triggering to each other, but if we're out of alignment in the high vibe states, mm-hmm. we're not getting our needs met there either. And then having that more full awareness of that picture of, oh, okay, your shame needs my love.
Mm-hmm.
My anger needs your joy.
Yeah.
That's not natural for either one of us, but we're going to cultivate that intentionally
mm-hmm.
because we value this relationship.
Yeah.
Or if that doesn't feel good for us, then we're just going to have a different kind of container.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, there's something to be said for, like, does it feel like out of alignment, you know, if it's just that not that natural mesh and fit, like, when do you...
Yeah.
But, like, I like that. I like that idea of, like, okay, so in this moment when I see you're experiencing this, if I, you know, can get into my state better and tap into, you know, my frequency of joy, which I know is what you need. And it also, then it's like, again, it's like the self-awareness and the awareness of others, but, you know, the deeper you go into a relationship, because needs are different at all times,
right.
you know, as well. And sometimes, like, then that goes back into coming to an understanding of energy and coming to an understanding of, like, really being able to read emotions of people and know when to take those telepathic hits to give space and the need to, like, fix it and finish it and heal it and blah, blah, blah. And then we, like, push. And then it's like, oh my God. Or you say a thing and then you're like, oh no, I shouldn't have said the thing. So now I got to fix it. But you said the thing because you were supposed to say the thing in the moment. And then you just, like, make it worse. You send, like, long messages. And it's just like, oh my God, all I needed was to just integrate and rest for an hour. And I would have been fine to have this conversation tomorrow. Like, good God.
To me, it's just another layer and another dimension on this, like, infinitely complex thing that we call human relating.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really exciting one for me. And you asked me to write something down, mm-hmm. and I would like to know your thoughts about it.
Okay.
Falling in love with life.
Mm. Yeah. So this is what we talked about. Well, you actually spoke to it. It's the Forever Fest, and it's, you know, seeing through the eyes of wonder and, like, really falling in love with, like, everything. And, like, you see a tree and you're just like, oh my God, that's so beautiful. And you see, like, this, you witness humanity doing something and you recognize it and you're just, like, deeply in love and you're witnessing it through the eyes of God. Like, God, creator, love is, you're looking through the eyes and you're just like, ah. And suddenly you got, like, the cartoon birds and the heart bubbles, like, floating around you, and you're vibrating in this way and you're, like, buzzing with joy. And then you begin to play the game with the universe and reality, because it's like you're having a relationship with the universe, and it is like, oh, that, you like that? Let me give you some more of that. And you're, like, bopping around and then you're, like, doing this reality game, and you're contributing to the sauce and the spice and the experience and whatever, because you're really, it's not just recognizing synchronicities, it's diving in and really, like, pulling, it's being aware and consciously connected to the synchronicities and, like, oh, I see you, and explain, like, God is just, like, constantly, or the universe is just, like, constantly, like, you know, just, like, throwing, like, you know, having a beautiful, I don't know. I said something
I
really.
I thought that was like a pantomime of ejaculation.
It was, okay, but I didn't say it, because here's the thing. I said this. This is, like, a thing that we talk about a lot. We're just like, the universe is just, like, coming all over us. It's great. Just, like, get it. Just, like, orgasm everywhere. It's just, like, give you all of the experiences and blessings, because we're just like, receive it, right? And but I said that at an event, and it didn't go over well. It was highly inappropriate. I'm so I was just like, wait, tip, don't. But, you know, we're okay. Telepathic, so, you know.
So we have brought out yet another aspect of love, mm-hmm. which is wonder. Mm-hmm. Wonder. When you yeah. talk about falling in love with life and you talk about going out into the world in that state mm-hmm. of just complete openness, curiosity, amazement,
yeah.
just wonder at this miracle, this mystery, this creation that we are somehow a part of, that we are somehow participating in, co-creating. When you say we're seeing through the eyes of God, in that sense of God as this fragmented universal consciousness that created all of these individuations from human beings to all of the sentient beings to even the so-called non-sentient, you know, material world down to each individual atom, proton, quark, everything with this individuated consciousness perceiving itself and then bringing that wondrous perspective online and saying, like, it's like the ultimate version of self-love. It's like, whoa,
yeah,
this is rad. And so am I. That's kind of falling in love with life.
I think so. And then also, like, think about it like this. Imagine you're this robot, AI, alien being coming to Earth and is like Elf, buddy, you know, looking through the eyes of wonder at every experience. So imagine in your relationship and something that normally makes you angry, if you turn to a state of wonder and curiosity about it, like if you can give your, you can be a master enough to turn it to curiosity. I just can imagine the difference that would feel, because when we're just, we think we know, oh, you're angry because of a belief, because you think you know, da 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 da, you're not curious. Because if you're not genuinely curious about why the thing or what the thing, because the only way that we're angry is because we think we know why, or we think we know what it means, or we think we know the outcome, or we think we've been harmed, or we think we've been this, blah, 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 blah. So like, if we take away that thing that we know and we get into that state of awe and curiosity and imagine we're this like new creature to Earth and we just turn to that state, I think it would make it, you know, easier for us to understand and relate with one another. And it may be someone crossed a boundary, you have the right to be angry and blah, 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 blah. And you may figure that out going down, and but it takes away the like volatility of it. And then it kind of like makes it easier to like to navigate. But I think if you just look and wonder and question, and rather than like allowing the resources of your patterns and past to navigate how you feel and believe a thing to be, rather getting curious.
Okay. So here's what I'm getting so far. Love is a state of being that simultaneously includes many aspects. They can come separately. They can come together. The more of them that are included, the more rich and full I think we would describe that sensation or that state of love. And these things include acceptance, peace, care, contentedness, safety, expansion, openness, wonder, curiosity, compassion. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
I got one other thing that I want to check in on about love before we close, which is, we've defined love as all of these different things. And sometimes I hear people talk about love, especially when it comes to, let's say, family, in the context of family, where it sounds like people are equating love with a sense of duty or a sense of obligation. Mm-hmm. Like, I love my family and therefore dot, dot, dot program. Mm-hmm. I will never abandon them. I will always be there for them, whatever they need. I'll show up for it. To me, sometimes though, I don't feel or hear like the kind of emotions that we've been describing. Mm-hmm. And it sounds more of sort of like a contractual arrangement. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering what you think about that in terms of, especially as a parent, which I am not, but but I do have parents, of course. And so I'm just curious what you think about that. Is there an element of duty that is compatible with love, or are those really kind of two different things where we're using the word love to mean something that it's really, that's really a different concept?
Well, I think probably I'm closer to agreeing with the latter. However, just to like contemplate it a little bit, as a parent, I don't even think of it as like obligation or duty. I think it just is like this inherent thing as a parent, as like connected to your child. But like, I also think I'm much different. Like I'm a different entity. I'm a different being. Like I didn't, when I had Fox in public school, like I didn't go to like the parent. I went to like one of the night things, but I didn't like do the PTA out of like feeling like obligated, like my son's going to the school, like, which some others might, you know, because like, just that, no, I'm not going to do something that I'm not excited or aligned with because I feel like I should. Like, I don't go to the family things and functions out of obligation. I just don't. Like, I don't care in that way. I don't choose to.
Do you think some people do get mixed up between love and loyalty and where which is which and where that one stops and one begins?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I was just going to say, like, Thanksgiving, I did go to, like, my parents' little townhouse. And that did kind of feel like obligation. You know, and I went because it would make my son happy and da da da, but I didn't feel welcome. It didn't feel like a thing. And it just kind of felt like I'm doing this thing because this is what we do. And just, So, yes, but I don't know that it's for love. I think love and obligation and love and duty are different.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
That's the question. Yeah. I had to get, you know. Long-winded to get there.
Yeah, but I think that, yeah. I think sometimes we get mixed up, or we get these two things wrapped up around each other, love and loyalty.
Yeah.
And then sometimes one gets lost along the way.
Yeah.
And we end up with the other one.
Uh-huh.
But we think that's like love, maybe.
Yeah.
Loyalty is love.
Uh-huh.
I think they're two different things. I think it's great when they come together.
Yeah.
But they don't have to.
Right. Yo, it can be challenging when you realize that you need to kind of put yourself first in a relationship, and you need to really like, and maybe your needs are not a match for someone else, like, and you guys are, it's like powerful to speak that truth and to like come into harmony and union together. But it's not like I feel obligated to do this, because I love you and I'm your partner and blah blah blah, and so I'm doing this out of duty, and then that doesn't feel like actual love, because it doesn't come along with all, it doesn't come if you're just doing it out of duty and something you don't want to do. Then where's the transparency and the honesty?
What's your last word on love?
Love is again, a conscious entity, being, expression. It's a life force. It is the breath that we breathe. Like, it is that. It's different than other emotions because it has the power to transform and alchemize. And if we can work with it in a visceral way, like, you know, let's say you work with the goddess, you can work with love. You can play with love. You can tune in to the spirit and the consciousness of love. It's more powerful than we talk about and that we really even believe or know or understand. I think, like, I really truly believe that it is consciousness in a way, and we can become it. Yeah. What does that mean? Become?
I don't know. Are we being or are we coming?
We're coming into being. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
But this one was one of my favorites. This was really fun. High vibe.
High vibe. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful conversation, Tiffany. Mm-hmm.
Likewise. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me for this sacred conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And don't forget that the conversation can always continue. We can build on a topic that we've already talked about and We can also start new topics and see how they all weave together. And that's just the exciting thing about this whole journey of exploration, is we don't know where it's going to go. But I'm really excited to find out with you. Please don't be shy to reach out and schedule your sacred conversation on whatever topic is interesting to you. Thanks a lot, and I look forward to talking with you soon.